Agenda item number 7, report and possible discussion on update on drought reservoir conditions by Brad Burnett, Water Service Manager.
Good afternoon, everybody. I keep looking forward to the day I can give my update and say the drought's over, but today's not that day, unfortunately. This is just a report only, so we're not going to be asking you for any action. I'm going to talk a little bit about our water use last year, the ongoing drought and its severity, and we'll also look at some projections of where we see things potentially going through the rest of the year, depending on what rainfall scenario we do end up with. We'll go to the next slide. Every year we have to compile and submit our annual water use to the TCEQ in March, and so we just got through doing that. And what you see here is our historical water use back to 1950, and you can see that our 2013 use there totaled about 334,000 acre feet and was second only to the year of 2011 when we used almost 500,000 acre feet. Go ahead and go to the next one.
Hey, Brad.
Yes.
As of April each year, or is that full year 2011 compared to through?
No, these are calendar years. We have to submit the report to TCEQ in March for the previous calendar year.
We're in 2014. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just a chart that shows how our water was used last year by the different types of customers that we have. Of the 333,838 acre feet that we used, about 53% of that was for industrial customers, and most of that is for cooling at steam electric plants. 36% of it was used for municipal type uses. 10% was irrigation, and about 1% was mining. This is a list of the top users last year, and it also shows the amount of water that those entities have used in the last couple of years. And when you look at this list, typically whoever the top 10 users are, and sometimes they change places from year to year, but typically our top 10 users use 70 to 80% of our water. So we've got, you know, maybe 150 or 200 different water customers, but the top 10 are typically the users of 70 to 80% of the water that gets used from our system. In last year, in 2013, that 256,654 acre feet total is about 77% of the 338 number that I showed you just a while ago. One of the other things that you may have noticed on that bar chart where we saw the use, you know, from 1950 up through current is, you know, there's a steady increase through time as we've added customers and as municipalities have grown, but you also saw those years where there's big, you know, spikes that are kind of outside of the trend. And you saw those back in the 70s and 80s and also here recently in 2011 and 2013 to some degree. And what drives those is that we've got a couple of our large customers that are in the lower part of the Brazos Basin, namely on this list, Gulf Coast Water Authority, Dow, and NRG Richmond there. Those entities have their own water rights, and so in normal years when we've got rainfall falling downstream of the reservoirs and there's flow in the river, they don't need any water at all from BRA. They're just pumping water out of the river that they have available to them under their own water rights. But whenever it gets dry, like we've seen here, you know, too many times in the last few years, there's not any flow in the lower part of the Brazos, so they can't meet their needs with what's naturally there, and that's whenever they call upon the contracts that they have with us. And so that's why you see those spikes that are so out of character. If you look, you know, through time, you know, you'll have a steady trend through time where we've got normal years, and then we'll have a really dry year where that goes way up, and that's the driver of that. If you just look at Gulf Coast Water Authority there on the top, you can see a good example. In 2011, they used almost 130,000 acre feet. In 2012, which started out fairly wet but ended up dry, they used only about 7,000, and then in 2013, it was back up to about 57,000 acre feet. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now, this table gives you an idea of where the water is used from among the 11 reservoirs that we have. And again, you can see 2011, 2012, and 2013 here. You can kind of look over the list of the reservoirs themselves. One of the things I would point out toward the bottom is you see the excess flows. That's a water right that we have that allows NRG, who is one of our customers in the lower basin, to take water from the river and charge it against our water rights, but we don't actually have to release water for it. And so essentially if there's water in the river above certain levels, then they can pump that water. We have to account for it when we report our use to TCEQ, but we're not actually having to dispatch it from a reservoir. And so That's kind of similar to the other customers being down Gulf Coast. Whenever it gets dry, there's not enough water, and we have to release water. And the same as with the excess flows permit. If we have years like 2007 and 2010, we probably release very little, if any, water at all for NRG. Most of their diversions are coming from that excess flows permit. And the last thing on the list there is that Colorado water that we were just talking about a while ago, the HB 1437 water. There's 25,000 acre feet, or up to 25,000 acre feet, that will ultimately come into the Brazos from Lake Travis. So far, those customers aren't using that water. You can see just a little bit there in 2012, and that was whenever they were doing some testing on the water treatment plant that they're in the process of building there. And I think Round Rock's latest projections indicate that they do expect to start using that water as soon as 2015. So potentially in 2015, we will have some water use there.
I had a question on that chart.
Sure.
If we get a permit approved, where would those, how would the 2013 column change? Where would that water go?
The system operation permit?
Would it be spread out pro rata throughout the reservoir?
Well, in years where we got some flow in the river, it's going to, more of the water would come from the river. Again, the system operation permit is going to let us take advantage of those flows in the river under our water rights, and not just the two or three customers that we have that currently have water rights. But the problem is, the last few years, there's not much water there to take advantage of. And so even with our new system operation permit, when we have the really dry years, a lot of the water is going to have to come from the reservoirs. And what we'll do is dispatch it, based on the conditions that are in effect at that time. If we have one reservoir that's brim full and the others are not, that's obviously where we'll put the greater demand. And, that could change from year to year, month to month, on how we end up dispatching the water, just based on the conditions at each one of the lakes and also the local needs from the water at the lakes. Okay, I'm going to shift gears now and talk, transition into looking at the drought. And this slide here, I think, really shows the severity of the drought, particularly in the upper part of the Brazos. And we may have showed this to y'all in January. I know we talked about drought, and I don't remember if we showed you this slide. But again, what we're looking at here are flow levels at the South Bend gauge, and you can see on the little map up there in the right-hand corner where the red star is, that's where this gauge is located. And it measures essentially all the flow from the Brazos that's flowing into Possum Kingdom Lake. And that gauge has been there for about 75 years, since 1939. Yeah. And one of the things that I like to use this gauge for is because it's upstream of everything that we have. And so no one can accuse us of manipulating the numbers or calculating things. This is a gauge that's upstream of our uppermost reservoir that's been measuring the flow for 75 years. And what you see on there, each one of those bars represents a three-year average flow volume for the prior three-year period. So, for example, if you look at 1992, that bar shows that an average of 1.37 million acre feet of water flowed past that gauge in 1990, 1991, and 1992. So we're looking at a rolling three-year average there. If you look out to 2013, the average that's flowed past that gauge in the years of 2011, 2012, and 2013 has been only about 50,000 acre feet per year. And one of the things you notice real quickly is the last 3 years are three times worse than any other three-year period that we've seen in 75 years. And this is, this is the reason that we're having problems with lake levels. This is the reason that we're having to release water for lower basin customers more often than not lately. It's just simply that we've got kind of off the charts, unimaginable conditions, frankly, that we've been experiencing up in that part of the basin. The deficit, if you want to look at it in terms of, that 2013 or 2011, 2012, and 2013 period, if you compare the volume of water to the, from that period to that previous worst period, we're at about a deficit of 350,000 acre feet. And so since 2011, we've had 350,000 acre feet less water flow into Possum Kingdom than the worst three-year period before. That's not from average. That's from the worst. And unfortunately, that deficit is continuing to grow. We're now almost 4 months into 2014, and this chart has only gotten worse so far this year. And so it's just really been kind of unprecedented at how bad it is out there. Okay, this is a similar chart, and here we're switching ends of the basin. We're looking down at the Hempstead gauge here. And if you look at the map there, you can see the star. That's where this gauge is located, and it's on the Brazos as well. And this is one of the gauges that we look at quite a bit because it's downstream of all of our reservoirs, but it's upstream of the three customers that we have in the lower basin, Gulf Coast Water Authority, Dow, and NRG. And so when we're releasing water for those customers, it's all flowing past this gauge, and this gauge is also a good barometer of when they're going to need stored water as opposed to being able to pump naturally from the river. What these bars represent here are the total flow volumes from June to August each year dating back to 1939. So again, we've got a gauge that's been there 75 years. Here we're looking at the total volume of water each year from June to August. Obviously, the lack of flow at the upper basin kind of has a trickle-down effect. If we're missing out on water historically that's flowed into Possum Kingdom, we're missing out on some of that water, ultimately making it this far down in the basin as well. However, you don't see quite the extreme here compared to the South Bend gauge, and that's because we've got other tributaries that are flowing into the river as you move downstream. So if you look at last October, we had a large flood at Lake Limestone on the Navasota River Basin, and so we had flood releases and flood water that were flowing past this gauge that were, you know, kind of filling in maybe some of the hole for the lack of flow from the upper basin. And so there is an effect, but you've got more drainage area, and so therefore you don't see quite the extremes on this one that you did the other one. But one of the things that you do see, if you look at that red dashed line going across there, that five of the last 8 years, dating back to 2006, have been lower than any year prior to that, back to 1939. And so, again, you can kind of see the effects of the drought in the upper basin on our whole system. When we have less water in the upper basin making it to the lower basin, the flows go down there in the summertime. There's not enough water for Dow, NRG, and Gulf Coast to survive, so they have to call upon us to release stored water, and we have to make those releases many times from the tributary reservoirs. And so you can kind of see the drought in the upper basin has an overall effect on the whole basin and our system. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is an interesting slide that we were looking at, always looking at numbers and statistics on the drought. And what this shows is just kind of a general drought trend since 2010. And what you're seeing here is the amount of storage in our reservoir system in early March each year for the last 4 years. And what you see there is there's just been about a steady 7% decrease from year to year since 2010, which was the last normal or wet year that we had. That's a little bit coincidental because, you know, we're just looking at early March each year. And in 2012, later in March and early April, we got some rain. And so that bar would have gone up if we looked at it in April. But overall, I think it gives you a good idea of the prolonged nature of the drought. And while we have fluctuations from year to year, we've kind of been on that steady decline over the last 4 or 5 years. So that's kind of a bad thing that we are on a steady decline. But you know, if there are any bright spots in looking at this chart, is we've only declined about 7% per year. So that's what's actually been happening. When you look at our worst case conditions and some of the projections I'm going to show you here in a few minutes, they're much worse than this. And so fortunately, we haven't had worst case yet. What we've been seeing is about a steady rate of about 7% per year.
Is this total system storage actually the water that you could get out of the reservoir? That does not include sediment and that kind of stuff.
Right. This is the total amount of water that we think exists in the reservoir. So it's down to the last gallon. We don't have it that accurately, but you know, let's say if the capacity of Lake Limestone holds 225,000 acre feet of water up to the most recent sediment survey. So when we're calculating these percentages, we're dividing how much water is out there today by the total that it holds if it was full. Okay. So one of the things, April, May, and June are typically our wettest months of the year. We're through April now, and we've had some showers here and there, but we haven't really had any substantial increases in our lake levels. May and June are historically where we make our money, and so, you know, hopefully make our money figure of speech, not literally, but we get the reservoirs full a lot of times in May and June. We haven't seen that for the last 3 years. If you look at our flow levels for those 2 months, 2011, 2012, and 2013, we've not seen much of anything. And, you know, there's no guarantee what the next 2 months are going to hold, but they'll be critical to us in terms of hoping we go into the summer in better shape than if we don't get some rain. Okay. This is another drought-related barometer, I call it. It just kind of gives us an idea of another angle of looking at the drought and how bad things are now compared to historically. I think I've showed y'all versions of this previously, probably over the last several years. And what it does is it compares our inflow over the last couple of years to the other worst periods in our history. And when I say historically, we've got a data set that goes back to 1900. And the estimates of flows in that data set are based on some of those old gauges that have been around for 75, 80, or 100 years. Obviously, the reservoirs weren't there 100 years ago, but if they had been, the data set is intended to capture how much inflow we would have received. The black line shows the cumulative inflow that we've had to our reservoirs since April of 2012. So we're looking at about a two-year total here, starting in April 2012. And you can see the if I can get this to work, the black line starts down here at zero in April up to where we are now. And we've had about a million acre feet of inflow in total to all the lakes. The blue line that you see there just up above the black was 1909 to 1911. That was another really bad two-year period. The red line was 2011 to 2013, and that period started out really bad. But you see the big increase right here is when we got the rain at the end of 2011 and in the beginning of 2012, and that rain filled most of the lakes up with the exception of Possum Kingdom. Okay, we'll go ahead and go on to the next one. I think all of y'all are used to looking at this. This is the graphic that we send out a lot of times in Phil's update to you each week, and it's also available on the website. We update it weekly, and it just shows the current status of the reservoir system. We're right now about 71% full with the reservoirs up in the northwest part of the basin struggling the most, and we've been holding at about 70 to 73% full essentially since last November or December, but again, as we're heading into the warmer months of the year where people start using more water, our evaporation goes up a lot, we'll start seeing that decline unless we get some inflow here in the next couple of months. Now, the next few slides are going to be looking at projections. So this is where we are today, and I've got a series of slides here where we're looking at, how bad could it be from now through the end of the year, or how bad might it be if we don't get some rain. So that's kind of what we're going to look at here next. This slide shows our total storage over the last year and then projects that forward to the end of the year for three different scenarios. Back to Carolyn, to your question earlier, up here at this dashed gray line, that represents full. If every one of our lakes were completely full, we have a little bit under 2 million acre feet of water that they hold. Back here is where we were in March of 2013 last year. Right here is where we are now. So, a year ago we were at about 1.5 million acre feet in capacity or in storage, and today we're at about 1.4 million. The light blue dashed line that you see extending off the top there is a projection, this line right here. And under that scenario, obviously we can't forecast the weather a couple of weeks from now, much less project what's going to happen for the rest of the year. But what we do is we look at historically, what's happened, different percentage of the time. And so that line kind of represents where we would be if we have normal or median inflow, evaporation, and water use conditions. And you can see that normal is good. In most cases, normal is going to help us refill some of that empty storage that we have. The dashed green line in the middle, this one here, that assumes that we have a year from now through the end of this year similar to last year. And when you look at our inflows last year, it's different when you look lake by lake, but if you look just at our total inflow, it was equal to about the worst 10% of the time that we've seen. So 80% or 90% of the years we have more than what we had last year, 10% of the years we have left. So it's a pretty dry scenario. I mean, it assumes we basically have another repeat of what we've seen over the last year. And there you can see that we decline a little bit out here to the end of the year, but it's certainly not as good as this and not as bad as worst case. If we look at that dashed blue line at the bottom, that is the worst case scenario. And under that projection, we're assuming conditions basically like what we saw in 2011, where we have record high temperatures, record low inflows, and record high water use. That's certainly not likely to occur, but this projection is a representation of what the system might look like at the end of the year if it did. If we wouldn't have had a 2011, I would tell you that there's almost no way that would occur, but we've recently experienced one, so it's possible that we could have another year like that. One of the other things on here I'll touch on real quickly, you see our stages in our drought plan. And if y'all remember, a couple of years ago, we updated that drought plan, and we revised those levels at which we start curtailment, and we actually revised the amount of water that we ask our customers to cut back. And we had modeled all of that, and we were looking at trying to extend our supply and seeing how long we could extend it with cutbacks. But one of the things that I think a lot of people don't understand is with reservoirs, you've got to have a drought plan, and you've got to start cutting back. But we lose more water from the reservoirs each year to evaporation than our customers use. And so when you look at even a cutback of 20% of what our customers normally use, you're only looking at a small fraction of the total water that's going out of the reservoirs. And so, you know, if we implement aggressive water use restrictions, these lines will come up a little bit, maybe into this area here. But it's not going to be, you know, there's nothing that we could do that's going to, you know, pull those lines up and keep them level unless we get some rain. Okay, this slide is a, you know, kind of the scary picture slide. It's the same picture we were looking at on the previous slide. We were looking at that blue line, the worst case scenario. This is what that line looks like reservoir by reservoir. And, you know, it's a pretty scary looking scenario, but it represents, you know, where we could be with a repeat of 2011 conditions. Again, I think it's unlikely that this is going to play out. Hopefully, we'll have a year, you know, not any worse than we had last year. And hopefully we'll be full a month from now. But in the event we had worst case conditions, this is what things would look like. And obviously, again, you know, we can't project what the weather's going to be 2 weeks from now here in Waco. And with this projection, we're trying to project, you know, what inflows are going to be, what water use is going to be, what evaporation is going to be all throughout the basin. And so the only thing I can tell you is this is going to be wrong. But, you know, if we do have worst case conditions, our level of storage will be about at this, and it may be redistributed differently in these reservoirs depending on what little rain that we would get. And obviously, if we end up in this condition, the people here earlier were talking about record low levels at Granbury. We would likely be at record low levels at almost every one of the reservoirs, and we would be facing a lot of pressures from everywhere. Nobody wants to see this scenario, so the lakeside people are going to be very interested. Our lakeside water customers are going to be very concerned, and our downstream customers are going to be very concerned because they rely on the water in these lakes just as much as the people around the lakes do for water supply. Okay, the next one.
What triggers restrictions of water use? Is that available on that map? In other words, when reservoirs reach certain levels, does that trigger an additional layer of restricted use?
It does. If you go back one more to the one more. Okay, we have these trigger levels on here for our system totals, but for each individual lake, it has its own triggers based on what's going on at that lake. And so, you know, we could hit a stage two trigger at an individual lake and implement, you know, restrictions on our customers for that lake and maybe not everybody else in the basin because the system is still full. There's other lakes that are more full. So these are the trigger levels that we have when we're looking at the collective volume of water that we have stored.
Right.
But we also have the same set of triggers that look at each individual lake specifically.
Have those levels been reevaluated lately? In other words, are we maybe too slow to cause restrictions?
We reevaluated them in 2012, the last time we updated our plan in October, and we significantly raised most of those levels to be more aggressive. We changed our stage one, which before had no recommendations for reductions in water use, to now it's 5%. I think stage two used to be 3%, and now it's 10%. Stage three was 7%. Now it's 20%, and then stage four would be 30%, or whatever we've got to do to make it last. You know, our customers. We've got customers that already have pushed back on us for declaring stage two. You know, they look at the system and they say, "You're 70% full. You've got 70% of the water that I pay for. So, you know, I shouldn't have to cut back." And so, There's not a magic answer to any of those questions, and we certainly could be more aggressive and raise those triggers up. But then, you know, you look at the pushback that you get from the customers, and then again, because we lose so much water to evaporation, you know, if you raise the triggers up or increase the cutback from 20% to 40% at stage three or something like that, you're going to make a little bit of difference. But, you know, at the same time, you're not, again, you're talking about there's 200,000 acre feet represented between each one of these lines. And even with pretty drastic cutbacks, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna pull this line up to here rather than here. So,
do we get fairly decent compliance at these levels?
We haven't really been tested yet. I mean, honestly, we haven't been deep within our drought plan. We got really good compliance at Lake Georgetown a couple of years ago. I think we were talking about that earlier. We had an emergency with the pump station. We went to an emergency stage 3, and 3 days later, they had cut their water use by more than half. I think most of our customers do try to comply. When we go to stage 2, we ask them to go to stage 2, and I think most of them try to do the right thing. But at the end of the day, we really haven't been tested, you know, very far, much farther than what we are now, and so that's one of the things that we're going to need to be looking at as we go through the rest of the year, especially if it stays dry. Is, you know, is the plan working like it is? And if it's not, when do we have to get more aggressive? And at the same time, you know, we're going to be having, you know, water customers that are pushing back on us for doing that if that's what we end up doing. So it's a difficult question, and there's not, like I said, there's not a simple, you know, logical formula that gives you the answer.
Well, I've just wondered at times that, you know, we get a little water and everybody takes the water restrictions off. And I just wonder at times if we shouldn't be more aggressive sooner with those restrictions.
The 2011 drought resulted in us making the changes that we see today. You know, we changed it in 2012 after 2011. And, you know, if we're on this line right here 6 months from now, we may be, you know, looking at changing it again, because ultimately, you know, when you get down into some of the territory like where they are at Wichita Falls and out west, where their lakes are literally empty, you know, you've got to do whatever you've got to do. You know, if you're talking about cutting it back 50% or whatever.
400 days.
So I can tell you that our restriction levels and our cutback percentages are pretty well in line with most other water suppliers. So, you know, at the 60 to 70% full range, most people are asking people to cut back 5 to 10%, which is where we are. So what we're doing now is in line with, you know, the industry standard, so to speak. But at the same time, you know, if we continue to have the drought conditions that we're having, we're going to have to relook at what the industry standard is, I think.
Wichita Falls has gone real drastic, Leroy.
Yeah.
See, one more. So this is a little bit better picture, and this is the projection. Again, we're looking out to the end of the year here, and this is the middle projection that we were looking at, the dashed green line that basically shows what would happen in the end of this year if we have a repeat of last year. And so there's a big difference between that worst case line and you know, only 10% of historical inflows, which is what this is, especially if you look out here at Possum Kingdom and Granbury. You can see there that if we just have 10% of what's in the historical record, how much those lakes improve. And that just goes to show you that what we've been seeing out there the last 3 years are setting new records each year for that data set. And I think, you know, they're either the new record or they're less than 1%. So if we get 10% of what's normal or historical, we see some improvement out there. And some of these other reservoirs here, 10% doesn't help as much because, you know, we've been getting 10% at some of the other reservoirs or even more. But we would end up about where I showed you earlier. We're dropping about 7% per year. You know, that's essentially what this line here would show if we have another year like last year.
Is that 10% of normal rainfall?
That's a really good question. And no, it's not. It's 10% of the inflow that we've seen historically. And the reason that's such a good question is if you look at Lake Limestone right now, it's still wet out there from the rain that we started getting in October. And so when we have normal rain out at Lake Limestone, you know, we're seeing the river come up and the lake come up. You know, from a 2 or 3 inch rain, you know, we'll see a difference. But it's so dry out west of Possum Kingdom that the river's pretty much dry, the stock tanks are dry, the lakes upstream of us are dry, and so it's going to take a lot more rain than normal to produce normal inflow. We're going to have a major, you know, multi-day type weather system, whether it's a tropical storm or something in the fall, or something like we saw in 2007 in June and July, where there was a low pressure system that moved in, I think, from the East Coast and just kind of sat over Texas for about a month. And we got, you know, floods in June and July of 2007, and that's what it's going to take to get us out of the shape that we're in out above Possum Kingdom. This is my last slide, and if you're looking out west, it's not good. If you're looking from Waco south, it's not bad. Don't worry about trying to read the words. All you need to see there is that brown is bad, and green and white are good. And so this is also pretty fresh off the presses. It's released in April, and this is the outlook through July. You know, I tend to believe that these things are going to be right more of the time than they're wrong. But, you know, if you go back just as recently as last fall, the climate people were telling us that we were going to have a warmer than normal winter. And, you know, this past winter was one of the coldest that we've seen. So they're going to be right probably more of the time than they're wrong. But, you know, again, we could be sitting here 2 months from now with every reservoir completely full. So take this for, you know, what it's worth. It's just their best guess of what's going to happen. I think that's the last slide that I've got. I'll be happy to try to answer any more questions if you have any.